morning, and I welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this third Sunday in the season of Epiphany. I'm joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. So Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Oh Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done marvelous things. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Amen. Jesus, we are called to a life of discipleship. We have turned from our old life and committed ourselves to a new life of love and service in his name. We revere his lordship of our lives and aim to become our best selves, reflecting his grace, compassion, and sacrifice. We are reminded of that as we pray the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. We are having our annual meeting directly after this service, so if you're a member, we ask you to please stay around. We do need some people for our quorum, and you're being counted at the end of the service, so thank you for being here today. So I need to read the warrant for the annual meeting. In accordance with the bylaws of Central Congregational Church, Article 6, Section 2A, the 146th annual meeting is called for Sunday, January 24th, 2021, immediately following the 10 o'clock worship service. The purpose of the meeting is to act upon the following business. Article 1, to receive and approve the annual reports of the officers, boards, committees, and auxiliary organizations of the church. Article 2, to discuss and vote on the allocation of bequest funds for 2021. Article 3, to hear a report on the use of the 2020 bequest funds. Article 4, to report on current capital improvement projects. Article 5, to remember our departed members. Article 6, to act upon the report of the nominating committee. And Article 7, to act upon any other business that may come before the annual meeting. And this is signed by our moderator, Kate Marsland. And this is the time we do share our announcements. I would first like to talk once again about the project that Ali Darling brought to us, to our attention, the Pen Pal Project. This was a collaboration of the North Attleboro Senior Center and the North Attleboro High School. It's an effort to help seniors who are isolated during this pandemic and are unable to avail themselves of Zoom or Facebook, or even those who do Zoom and yet still live in isolation. We're being invited to be a part of the project as our youth are being asked to join in the effort as pen pals. And I thought the rest of us perhaps could think of people who might benefit from this wonderful endeavor as well. So if you know of anyone who is really feeling isolated, please let the office know and we can perhaps ask Ali to add them to the list. I'm sure that will be fine. And there will be more information coming in upcoming triads. Are there any announcements that you would like to make? I don't see any hands raised. I don't see anyone unmuting themselves to make an announcement. So Mr. Dave, would you please announce your music?
Yes, good morning, everybody. We have a hymn that we're gonna sing today. The opening hymn actually, somebody put in the chat thing, is that Finlandia? And yes, that is the name of the tune, the melody. It's actually in our hymnal as Be Still My Soul. So if you recognize that. But it's all, the hymn it's also that we're going to sing today. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I like geeking out over stuff like that. It's also used as a tune called God of All Nations, which talks about pluralism and international harmony.
Right. Yeah.
It's a great tune.
Yeah. That's sorry also a hymnal. Yeah, they use several hymn tunes with different lyrics a lot. So that was our opening tune. And our song that we're going to sing is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And again, either the words were sent in an email or you can find them in the chat section. If you scroll around, you can find something that says chat and the lyrics are in the chat section. It's three verses and we'll sing all three verses of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect the rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Portals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning over us, binding all within its span. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Thank you for that, Mr. Dave. This is the time we share our celebrations. I just have two. One is that President Biden has been lawfully inaugurated. I think we all feel, or many of us feel, a whole lot better now about that. And we believe that we can now look forward to a time when perhaps all of us who wish to be vaccinated will find a way to do so. So we continue to pray for those things. Any other celebrations that you would like to lift up, please feel free to unmute yourself and sing it out.
I have a celebration.
Yes, Maddie.
Tomorrow.
Me, thank goodness.
Tomorrow is my grandma's birthday.
Wonderful. Congratulations to your grandma and happy birthday to her. Yes, Cheryl.
I have a celebration to Rich for doing this for the both of us and for Julie to be so patient because he has been here many times and many hours. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And thank you to Rich Goss for doing all he's doing. I've got a couple of more people we need to talk about, Rich. Okay, very good. Any other celebrations? Do I see Tammy?
Hi, I just want on Inauguration Day, I know my father celebrated his 87th birthday.
Oh, wonderful.
And he got a chance to talk to my children and myself all together.
Oh, and good.
I stressed how awesome it was to be present for what he had to witness this, you know, we all witnessed this Wednesday, and that he felt so good to be surrounded by great people. So he had a good day.
That's wonderful. At least you can be in touch these days. It's wonderful. Good. Other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family, and we have a lot of concerns. We pray this morning for people who are ill, others in need of prayer, including our new president, Joe Biden. And in addition, we pray for Loretta, for Chad. Ed Dyer was in the hospital again this week, but he is out, so that's good news. I'm glad to hear that. So we pray for Ed and Janet, for Brigitte, for Bert, for Doris, for Carol, for Marie, for Lee, for Edie White. This is Steve White's mother, who is in hospice now, I believe. She's not doing well. We pray for Jennifer. Len is now at home, and unfortunately, he also is in hospice. And so we pray for Len and certainly for Nancy as well. We pray for Marge, for Marianne, for Jane and her family, for Gil, I was asked to add to the list, John, who is suffering from COVID, and to pray for Nick's family. Nick died of COVID. Those who are in the nursing homes or assisted living, we pray for Jackie and for Carolyn. As always, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID and all on the forefront of that battle. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the health of our nation and pray for our communities as we continue to face these days together. So let us pray for all who are in special need of God's grace and be ready to sing out the names of people in the silent part of the prayer in your own homes. So let us pray. Gracious God, ruler of all nations, we commend to your compassion our nation currently in the grip of grave tensions, even following our election. Have pity on the millions of stunted lives, both within our borders and scattered over the earth. Grant us wisdom and strength to relieve the suffering of helpless victims. Help us to find the right way and the resolve to restrain the deadly multiplying of weaponry, to control and dismantle all nuclear and other equally monstrous weapons, and to give up racial arrogance and national and corporate selfishness in a common search for justice, mercy, and peace. Sovereign God, we pray today for nations which were until recently colonies. Remind us that our own United States began as a colony and that our ancestors had to shed blood to secure the freedoms we so blithely take for granted from time to time. Keep us mindful of all the gross errors of our early history so that we may be patient with young nations struggling with problems of youth, rapid change, and unguided or ill-guided growth. May we help them to help themselves without exploitation or condensation. Help us to maintain peace with justice within our own borders so that we may provide for them an example worth following. Remind us, Father, that your Son loved persons. He loved Jews and Romans, Greeks and Samaritans, all kinds of people, simply because they were your children. Help us to show our love for him by working to bring about a safe and orderly country in which the endless, glorious variety of human beings who now live in confusion, hate, and fear may live in mutual helpfulness and love. As always and every day, we pray for the people we have mentioned this morning in need of love and healing, as well as many others that we now name in our hearts and from our lips in this time of silence. Gracious God, accept our prayer in the name of him who consistently cautioned the strong and favored the weak, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day.
Of the Gospel according to Mark, which told the story of the John the Baptist and his act of baptizing his cousin, Jesus of Nazareth. Mark continues his Gospel with the story. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Please hear these words. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. In the late 1950s and in the early 60s, when I was beginning my college studies, John Galbraith was an economist who wrote a book, and I heard about it a lot in college. It was called The Affluent Society. At that time in the United States, per-person income expressed in today's dollars was less than $10,000 a year. Most of us only had one car. We were lucky if we owned a home. Today, personal income has increased to $60,000 as of 2019, when the last census was taken. So are we happier than we were 70 years ago? We are not. In 1957, 35% of Americans told the National Opinion Research Center that they were very happy. In 2020, the United States ranked 19th in the whole world of 52 nations. And it's interesting that you should have had that discussion about Finlandia, because Finlandia is the national anthem of Finland, because Finland registered as the happiest nation in the world, interestingly enough. And the unhappiest nation in the world was Thailand. Americans are as unhappy as they have ever been in years, and it seems to be a trend. Judged by soaring rates of depression, the quintupling of the violent crime rate, the doubling of the divorce rate, the slight decline in marital happiness among the marital survivors, and tripling of teen suicide rate, we are richer and we are unhappier. Many people are dissatisfied with their lives. Obviously, it's more than money. We're not bad people. We may have all the material necessities. We may have respectable jobs. We may have people who love us, but we may still feel that something is missing in our lives. There's a man called the Ethics Sage. His name is Stephen Mintz, and he's an ethicist. He deals with ethics. He's an accomplished researcher and an award-winning blogger on all issues related to wellness. He suggests that a loss of personal relationships and excessive use of impersonal social media to make new friendship are factors in the decline of happiness and meaning in life. So Americans are now less happy than they've ever been. Americans have never been in more despair. And as a result, the well-being of Americans has suffered greatly, especially during this pandemic. I think we saw it in that angry mob that attacked our Capitol building 2 weeks ago. They were obviously angry and unhappy. And I guess they believed what they heard from our ex-president, and that was amplified by social media and other sources. And so we were shocked by the unmitigated disaster that occurred on January 6th, resulting in the death of 5 people in an attempt to take our government down. And now we are divided right down the middle with 2 different realities and 2 different ways of understanding the facts of what has happened. One of my favorite theologians is Charles Schulz. You know him as the person who did the Peanuts comic strip. And in this particular strip, Snoopy the dog is typing out his latest attempt at a great literature. He wraps up his little story like this. And so our hero's life ended as it had begun, a disaster. I never got any breaks, he had always complained. He had wanted to be rich, he died poor. He wanted friends, he died friendless. He wanted to be loved, he died unloved. He wanted laughter, he found only tears. He wanted answers, he found only questions. And at that point, Snoopy, with an exasperated look, thinks to himself, I'm having a really hard time ending this. Like many would-be writers, he had dug a hole and he couldn't get out of it. I think it's a parable of our time, but we need to understand there is always hope. How about those first disciples? Were they unhappy with their lives? Peter, Andrew, James, and John were all fishermen living on the shores of the Lake of Galilee. They, with their fathers, were professional commercial fishermen. That small oval-shaped lake, 12 by 7 miles, had long been an important source of fish, not only for Palestine, but also for export to places as distant as Rome. The Jewish historian Josephus tells us that in his time, which was shortly after the death and resurrection of Christ, at least 130 fishing boats sailed the Sea of Galilee. Their catches were salted and sent everywhere as a staple in their diets. While Peter, Andrew, James, and John were not wealthy, they were not poor either. They were apparently successful in their businesses. They owned their own boats and used hired help to expand their operations. Like most fishermen, they knew the importance of timing, location, bait, and patience. And like many fishermen, they no doubt had a kind of mystical appreciation of the sea and the weather and all the world of nature. In other words, they were about on the same level as many of us who work and who are somewhat successful in our work. They were probably pretty much the middle class of their time. It was while these successful fishermen were mending their nets on the seashore that Jesus, an ex-carpenter and would-be leader of others, approached them and said simply, follow me. He said it directly and dramatically, and I will make you fishers of other people. So they left their fathers, they left their boats, they left their businesses, their nets, and their hired help, and they followed him immediately, we are told. They didn't even think twice. Such was the beginning of Jesus' ministry, changing fishermen into fishers of other human beings, converting businessmen who fed people physically to kingdom men who fed people spiritually. They left an occupation to respond to a vocation, a calling. Instead of luring fish into their nets, they turned to the project of luring others to join in their cause. And in place of the comfortable, settled bourgeois life of Palestine, they were challenged with the uncertainties of campaigning for the Messianic age, the age of the Messiah. for the kingdom of God that Jesus was announcing. And ever since, Jesus has been calling disciples to his cause, luring men and women away from occupations to a vocation, enlisting them in a spiritual army, boldly announcing that they were out to change the world. Over the centuries, there have been many, many different disciples. Too often, it has been interpreted that to be a good disciple of Christ, you were expected to drop everything and become a minister, a professional in the church, or a missionary. But that's not really true. What did Jesus call these first disciples to do? To bring others on board. And don't let us confuse the language. If they had been carpenters, Jesus might just as well have said, I will make you builders of others. If they had been educators, he might have said, I will make you teachers of others. The point is that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we may find our greatest fulfillment when we take that love that we have received from Christ and pass it on to someone else. It might be a friend, a coworker, a student, or a member of our own family who is seeking something more. It might be a homeless person that we have met at Food and Friends kitchens, or an addict who is seeking a way to return to being whole. It might be a young person seeking knowledge and truth as you teach them in Sunday school or in our youth group. It might be as simple as reaching out to an elder or a disabled person who is feeling isolated in this pandemic, as Ali Dollering is trying to do with her project. My friends, we all stand on the same ground as we try to be the very best disciples of Jesus Christ that we can be. May God keep us firm in our commitment to be that kind of disciple. Amen.
Receive the benediction. Be alert, stand firm in the faith, be valiant and strong. Let all you do be done in love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for being here for worship. And if you're members, or even if you're not and want to be here for the annual meeting, I would encourage you to stay. I think Cheryl was counting people. Do we have quorum?